The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, President Mahama joins other leaders in Cote d'Ivoire for ECOWAS summit on Mali. More ministers nominated. Ghana and the Netherlands discuss establishment of health insurance institutes, and four foreign hostages killed in rescue operation by Algerian army. First, the summary by Jonathan.
President John Dramani Mahama and other heads of state will today hold an emergency ECOWAS summit in Cote d'Ivoire. They will discuss the political situation in Mali and ways to restore peace and order in that country. Seven more people have been nominated as ministers designate in the Mahama administration. This is in accordance with Article 78 of the 1992 Constitution. Ghana is collaborating with the Netherlands to establish a health insurance institute. The institute, which will be the first of its kind in Africa, will train health experts in insurance scheme to bridge the gap between public health and the insurance scheme. And four foreign hostages have been killed in a rescue operation by the Algerian army. The operation, which was to free hostages at a gas facility in the desert, has also left a number of Islamist militants and other captives missing.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more. President John Dramani Mahama will join other heads of state in Cote d'Ivoire today for an emergency ECOWAS summit. A statement signed by the presidential spokesperson John Jinapo says the heads of state will deliberate on the political situation in Mali and formulate strategies for the speedy restoration of peace and constitutional order in Mali. President Mahama is expected back home tomorrow.
Meanwhile, President John Dramani Mahama has nominated seven people as ministers of state designate. A statement signed by the Executive Secretary to the President, Dr. Raymond Atuguba, said the nomination is in accordance with Article 78 of the 1992 Constitution. The Arm Minister in charge of government business in Parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbur, Minister for Justice and Attorney General, Mrs. Marita Brew Apiaopong, Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua, Minister of Transport, Mrs. Jifa Atibo, Minister of Employment and Labor Relations, Niyama Ashite, Minister of Health, Ms. Hani Sherry Aite, and Minister of Youth and Sports, Elvis Efie Ankra.
The Minister Designate for Transport, Jifa Atibo, says she has come thus far by the grace of God. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program last night, she expressed appreciation to all ministers who she worked with. Madam Atibo said in the last 4 years, the ministry has chalked up a lot of successes in the maritime, aviation and the metro mass transit sectors. She also touched on her vision for the ministry. Madam Atibo spoke with Kingsley Obinchery.
You know, I was nominated as a deputy minister in the year 2009 to support the minister to develop the Better Ghana agenda. And I can mention that in the maritime sector, we have had a lot of achievements going on the Volta Lake, the numerous accidents that were taking place. We've been able to curb it by putting measures in place, training our youth to work assiduously to ensure that there's no more overloading. Go to the aviation sector, there's been a lot of improvement. I go to Metro Mass. I mean, for the first time, Metro Mass has been able to procure 150 buses from their own internally generated funds. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
Certainly, you expect to get the nod. What would be the main thrust of your work for this administration?
Under the leadership of His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, we are going to advance the Better Ghana agenda. And infrastructure is key to the development of this country, because without infrastructure, we can move nowhere. We need the railways, the airports, and we have developed a master plan for the whole Ghana. We will work on the temporary port and the Volta Lake project to enhance the living standards of our people who live along the communities. And I want to take this opportunity to assure His Excellency the President that I will not let him down.
Naturally, Ghanaians would be expecting more, and we also know about that statement that to whom much is given, much more is expected. What do you expect to be the major challenge in meeting all the set goals ahead of you?
During the past 4 years, we laid a solid foundation. All the contractors are in place, so we are now going to go in for disbursement and start the projects that are under the transport sector. So I know it's going to be a big challenge, but I want to assure Ghanaians that a lot of jobs will be created because we have 40% local content under all these projects, and to give jobs to our teeming youth.
Minister Designate for Transport Jifa Ativo speaking on Behind the News last night.
Commenting on the 7 ministerial appointments released by the President yesterday, a lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Dr. Evans Agridakum, said the President has done well by blending the young and the old. This, he said, will help government to work effectively. On the creation of new ministries, Dr. Agridakum said government must be abreast with current happenings and create appropriate ministries to ensure good governance.
Sometimes we unnecessarily politicize some key issues which perhaps may not address the problems that we have, you know, in a society. If you look at the institutional architecture, we're operating a hybrid system which, you know, more or less places parliament in some sort of subservient position. But nonetheless, you need to court the relationship, you court the friendship of parliament. You need to have somebody who will act as an effective liaison between, you know, parliament and the executive for government business to really function effectively. For me, if you bring that back, some will suggest that it's once again the executive maintaining its foothold over the legislature. And others will also argue that it is also an opportunity for the executive to also have an effective liaison. Whether we like it or not, parliament itself, we need that effective liaison to be able to prosecute its agenda effectively. And so when you have the majority leader in that position, it really facilitates that harmony that you really would need. Because when we're talking of even the separation of parliament, even though we are operating the minimalist concept of the separation of powers, it doesn't mean that we are talking about separation of personnel or a watertight separation. You need some synergy. You need serious harmonization of some of the key things in there to be able to prosecute the government agenda effectively.
Lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Dr. Evans Agridakum.
The UNDP has signed a deal with the Interministerial Coordinating Committee on Decentralization for the committee to implement the UNDP's annual work plan for 2013 and 2014. By this, the committee takes over the implementation from the Electoral Commission. We bring you Victoria Ahaji's report.
The United Nations Development Programme is a UN body's global development network that advocates for change and connects countries to knowledge, experience and resource to help build a better life. UNDP operates in 177 countries. By the agreement, the IMC becomes the body that the UNDP has entrusted to implement its program. The committee can also enter into agreements with other identifiable parties that may work with it to provide goods and services to the project. At the signing ceremony in Accra, the finance officer of the committee, Anthony Ampim, indicated that the committee now takes over the implementing role from the Electoral Commission, since the focus of UNDP assistance has shifted from election-related activities to decentralization. He threw more light on the agreement.
The UNDP has just selected the IMCC Secretariat as the implementation of their annual work plan on governance. What it means is that the IMCC is going to be the lead institution that will coordinate all the activities that are being sponsored by the UNDP in the country on governance issues. For 2012, the UNDP was very supportive of the IMCC Secretariat, and this relationship is being deepened by the signing.
Mr. Ampim mentioned government institutions such as the Institute of Local Government Studies, the Constitution Review Implementation Committee, Ministry of Women and Children are some of the institutions that the committee will work with.
That was Victoria Haji's report.
Health insurance experts from Ghana and the Netherlands are discussing findings of the feasibility study to explore the possibility of establishing a health insurance institute. The institute, which will be the first of its kind in Africa, will train health experts in insurance schemes to bridge the gap between public health and insurance schemes. Irab Napaha has the details.
The idea of a health insurance institute came to fore when Ghana received the UN Health Insurance Award for a sustainable and efficient health insurance scheme. The feasibility study looked at areas such as knowledge and capacity gaps, anonymity above the need for a knowledge center, expected impact of the knowledge center, funding among others. Chief Executive Officer of the National Health Insurance Authority, Sylvia Saminsa, explained that the need for building knowledge and capacity for health insurance is evident. However, the form and scope in which to facilitate this have not been defined, hence the need for the study.
The feasibility is sought to find out whether, one, the idea of a knowledge center for health insurance is relevant. The outcome has been that, yes, there is a knowledge gap, not only in Ghana, but across Africa and beyond, that there is no structured, organized training or academic program, learning arrangements for health insurance as a faculty, and that indeed it is a relevant idea. The other area has been the governance structure of such an institution. Should it be a full-fledged academic institution? Should it be an institution that is affiliated to a particular university or knowledge center? The other has been the scope. Should it be short courses? Should it be diploma programs? Should it be certificate programs? And a host of others. How should it start?
Mr. Nainsa noted that unlike other countries that run mixed or hybrid health systems, Ghana runs one public health scheme which allows private schemes to be run alongside. The institute will therefore bring all health schemes together with one core objective, which is to provide quality and efficient health care delivery.
Report.
Participants of the 64th New Year's School yesterday embarked on a study tour of Old Fadama, also known as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Agbogbloshie Market in Accra. The move was to have a feel of the sanitation menace in the area with respect to waste disposal and waste materials. Our reporters, Yaya Kwamo and Mariana Tule, were part of the tour and filed this report.
The topic for this New Year's School, improved water sanitation and hygiene, is critical to the future of the country. The study was to make participants have a practical knowledge of what various resource persons have delivered on the topic. Traditional leaders and elders interacted with the participants on sanitation situation. In their opinion, the way plastics and polythene bags were littered everywhere was bad. The odor from the Odor River due to the throwing of litter was unbearable. The creation of commercial public toilets and bathrooms were some of the things that were discussed by the participants. An interview with the owner of one such public toilet and bathroom facility, Tommy Ahono, revealed that each person pays 40 Ghana pesos, whilst 30 Ghana pesos is paid before one is allowed to attend Nature's Call. Others whom the team interacted with indicated that they made between 50 Ghana cedis and 100 Ghana cedis each day from those who patronize their toilet and bath facilities. With regards to the law, some of the food vendors that were interviewed showed that they go according to the assembly's bylaws on sanitation and pay their levies. They have acquired food licenses from the Environmental Health Department to operate. The participants at the end of the trip expressed appreciation and sympathy for those staying in slum neighborhood. Some of the DCEs in particular told Radio Ghana that having the feel of the practical experience and theory, they will intensify the campaign on sanitation in their various districts when they go back.
Yaya Kwamo and Mariana Tulis report.
Attitudinal change has been identified as one of the major problems in fighting sanitation in the country. The acting Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Samuel Ofosu Ampofu, said this last night on Behind the News. He said managing sanitation has become complex because of indiscriminate disposal. Ms. Ofosu Ampofu said education is important to curb the problem, but it has to go hand in hand with enforcing bylaws.
Well, the issue of sanitation still remains one of the biggest challenges facing government, especially metropolitan municipal and district assemblies, because sanitation challenges are of daily occurrence. Every day, people generate waste. Our habit as a nation and our lifestyle have also changed. Previously, we used not to be drinking from bottled water and sachet water. Every day, if you take averaging, that somebody drinks, let's say, 4 sachet water a day, that will tell you that if you multiply by the number of people in our cities, you then imagine the kind of garbage that we generate. Managing waste and sanitation has become very complex and takes a lot of resources, energy, you know, to deal with the situation.
Some say that in other jurisdictions, you have people using the bottle, some may even use the sachet, but you still don't find it. Does that mean that our attitudes will still need to be massaged in a way as to do the right thing?
Our attitude needs to be shaped for us to reawaken our consciousness as a people. Because you see, the whole challenge that we have with regard to sanitation is one of attitudinal change. You have people who generate waste and get up early in the morning, look left and right, and put it in the gutter. When it rains and the rainwater is passing, people will move from their houses, carry their garbage, and throw it into the gutter. And to do this, you obviously have a big challenge because these drains are made to carry water. The question of attitudinal change is very critical. And I think that the media and all well-meaning Ghanaians, traditional authorities, some members, then civil society organizations will all have to contribute towards stepping up this, you know, public education in order to step up the consciousness of the people towards keeping their environment poor.
On the issue of making waste useful to generate income for the country, Mr. Ofosu Ampofu said several ways have been identified to recycle waste to create wealth.
This bulletin of news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. President Mahama joins other leaders in Cote d'Ivoire for ECOWAS summit on Mali. More ministers nominated. Ghana and the Netherlands discuss establishment of health insurance attitude, and coming up, 4 foreign hostages killed in rescue operation by Algerian army. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. The Electoral Commission has opened nominations for the election of members to the Council of State across the country. The nominations will close on Tuesday, the 22nd of this month, while the 6th of next month has been set for the elections. 5 persons from the Ashanti region have so far picked nomination forms to contest the single slot allotted the region. They are the incumbent member of the council, the Twasihene Professor Isiama of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, the Reverend Dr. Coleman, a former MP for Subin, Nkumasi and Murahini. Membership to the council is non-partisan and is open to all Ghanaians who qualify to be elected as members of parliament. For the purpose of the Council of State elections, the person must hail from the region and be a qualified voter who has been duly proposed, seconded and supported by 18 other registered voters from the region. In an interview, a Deputy Ashanti Regional Director of the EC, Lawrence Opong, said there are no limitations to the number of candidates who can contest a single slot for the region. Mr. Sapon said the Electoral College will be constituted by 2 members each from the metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies in the region. He said the EC will be able to tell the actual number of candidates contesting the elections at the close of nomination on Tuesday.
The chief executive of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, George Smith Graham, has appealed to NAGRA to exercise restraint while the commission works to address their concerns. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Smith Graham was optimistic that the post-migration committee put in place by the commission will soon come out with a satisfactory blueprint for addressing the grievances of NAGRA.
The chief and people of Alabama in the Hohoi municipality have reiterated their resolve never to use violence or resort to arms against their Nkonya neighbors in the resolution of their over 8 decades land dispute. According to them, the conflict between the two communities, which has previously afflicted pain, division, mistrust and loss of lives and property, should be resolved through dialogue. The paramount chief of Alavanya, Togbi Atokra-Jache, made this known at a news conference in Home. He therefore called on his Nkonya neighbors to return to the negotiating table to continue the stalled peace process. Correspondent Kosi Humahovi filed this report.
The peace process was stalled when Nkunyas were said to have deserted the negotiations. The news conferences enabled the chiefs and people of Alabanye to explain recent events which erupted during the Christmas festivities and the consequent adverse effects on the quest for peaceful coexistence with the Nkunya brothers and sisters. Alabanye and Nkunya communities are traditional neighbors sharing a common border. However, over 8 decades, they were entangled in a protracted land dispute which has been generated into a conflict with a consequential loss of lives and property on both sides. In 2004, the Volta Regional Coordinating Council, VRCC, in its efforts to bring peace, constituted a 7-member mediation committee to undertake a peace-building process among the two communities. The process was supported by the West African Network for Peace Building, WANEP, as the facilitator. The communities were at the verge of making a global history in peace restoration after such conflict, but due to the entrenched stance taken by the two communities on their boundary demarcation process, the negotiations were stalled. Consequently, Nkunyas were said to have withdrawn from the mediation table since 2009. According to Tugbega Atakura, the current atmosphere has resurrected criminal activities on both Alabanye and Nkunya sites, and outsiders also capitalized on the situation to undertake illegal lumbering and farming.
That was a report by correspondent Kosi Kumahovi.
There are indications that filling stations in Accra have not run out of diesel. A survey by Radio Ghana also revealed that gas shortage experienced some weeks back is gradually fading. Yvonne Atiligu went around to some fuel and gas stations and reports.
A visit to some fuel and gas stations revealed no queues, as it has always been the case when there is a shortage of the commodities. Places visited include Guel and Total stations at Osu and 37 Military Hospital, Fraga Oil at Kwame Nkrumah Circle, and other selected fuel stations at Jowulu and Asylum Town. Most of the managers of the stations Radio Ghana spoke to refused to be quoted, but intimated that their stations have not experienced any diesel shortage. This position was confirmed by the manager of the Fraga Oil at Kwame Nkrumah Circle, who said his station has not experienced any shortage.
I didn't experience anything like diesel shortage, because in my station I have diesel. So there's nothing like that. I didn't experience anything. Yeah, this last week I have diesel. I didn't hear anything like that.
Vehicle owners who use diesel said they have not heard or experienced any diesel shortage. Meanwhile, some gas stations visited in the Accra metropolis had enough stock.
Ivana Telegu.
The Ghana Red Cross Society plans to use broken down coaches of the Metro Mass Transit as roadside first aid centers along various highways. This came to light when Radio Ghana got to know about the broken down Metro Mass Transit buses parked on the premises of the Ghana Road Cross at Ghana Red Cross at South Legon in Accra. In an interview, its communications manager Lydia McLean said the buses are going to be rehabilitated and equipped for emergency response on highways. Janet Quist and Patience Zogbede have more.
Given the background to how the Metro Mass buses got to their offices, Mrs. McLean said the Red Cross Society realized that to rehabilitate the disused buses for the project was better than constructing containers or permanent structures. She said the buses will be equipped as emergency first aid posts and stationed at various accident-prone points nationwide. Mrs. McLean said the project is being tested on a pilot basis. However, the society is strategically mobilizing funds so that when fully implemented, the project can be sustained nationwide.
The emergency response first aid post is just like a point that we have on any accident-prone highway, manned by trained volunteers. The objective was that, most of them realize that when there's an accident, people just rush to the scene, of course with good intentions, but they don't know how to handle the victims properly. So they just throw them on their backs, you know, carry them, drag them, and try to get them to the victim is dead. So the idea is that we'll have trained volunteers on highways. If there's an accident, they usually rush there, feel like the situation and pull off medical care and we have one on the Kamamoto way at the moment. That's the pilot one. Okay, so that's the background to how these buses are here. So it was as a result of this collaboration that this idea came, that if it's possible, we can use some of these old buses, disused buses, rehabilitate it and then equip it as an emergency first aid post on a highway. So we're going to try out if it works out and it's, you know, a more cost-effective way of setting up the highway post, and this will be using on different highways. across the country.
Mrs. McLean mentioned the Road Safety Commission, the DVLA, and Ghana Health Service as some of their partners in the project.
That was a report filed by Patience Zubidi and Janet Quist.
The Oso District Magistrate Court hearing the case of former Budget Minister of Cote d'Ivoire and ally to former President Laurent Gbagbo, Justin Kone Katinan, has directed the prosecution to include corresponding legislation of Cote d'Ivoire on the charges filed to correspond with the laws of Ghana. The magistrate of Wadi Tando gave this directive because in his view the offense stated was not committed in the country. The court noted that though the prosecution used the Ghana Act to support the charges, it was silent on Ivorian laws. He has also directed the state to make available to the defense the various positions and proceedings filed. This is because the defense has not been furnished with the necessary documents. Justin Katinan is charged with 20 counts of conspiracy and robbery.
The Director of Research and a Security Analyst at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Center, Dr. Kwesi Enin, says concerns raised by the populace of fears of reprisal attacks on Ghana by Islamic groups are legitimate. He noted that a report from the center last year revealed that Mali, Niger, and Ghana are countries which have been targeted by these Islamic groups. Dr. Enin spoke to Kingsley Obinchwe.
Peacekeeping is about dealing with the separation of identifiable combatants. This particular type of engagement is different. The opposing group is different. It has an ideology that is indeterminate. It's not a composition made up of so-called radicals and extremists who are highly mobile, highly determined, know their terrain very well, and therefore they pose particular types of problems. And I think people in Ghana who are concerned have legitimate concerns because, you see, Al-Qaeda has been operating in Ghana for quite some time, in the court in commercial context, but I'm also assured that all these concerns were taken into consideration when the request to contribute to the aid. So I'm not that much worried.
Did the sub-region wait for too long before this intervention?
No, I think the international community has been pretty critical about the Malian fish. Mali has been disintegrating for the past 5 years. And I mean, from the Kofi Annan Center side, some of the reports we wrote for the United Nations 2009-2010 demonstrated that Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mauritania were under threat from Al-Qaeda and from extremist forces. But it's the inability of our own leaders to grab the bull by the horn when African intellectuals and scholars present them with critical facts that has led to this. But I think we've waited and I think we are paying the price for it.
Procrastination is not helping us at all in this particular case. But how do you see the French intervention? There are cases where people even complain about them coming in.
Well, I think the French intervention raises certain critical and disturbing issues. You see, France is exerting a certain robust interventionist agenda that's quite disturbing.
Yeah. How do you see the UN coming in? Because it appears that silently it might be supporting the cause.
But we don't need silence. This is the hypocrisy of national wealth. What Mali and ECOWAS need are bold statements backed by the resources for ECOWAS to deliver.
That was the Director of Research and a Security Analyst at the Kofi Annan Peacekeeping Center, Dr. Kwesi Enin.
An Algerian army operation to free hostages at a gas facility in the desert has left a number of Islamist militants and their captives missing. Reports say 4 foreign hostages have been killed in the raid. The militants claim they are holding 41 people. Some hostages have been freed, but the number of survivors is unconfirmed. Now to end the news, the main points again. President John Dramani Mahama and other heads of state will today hold an emergency ECOWAS summit in Cote d'Ivoire to discuss the political situation in Mali and ways to restore peace and order in that country. 7 more people have been nominated as ministers designated in the Mahama administration. This is in accordance with Article 78 of the Constitution. And 4 foreign hostages have been killed in a rescue operation by the Algerian army. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Barbara Kubina-Kra.